Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, The Blood of the Lamb. Thank you to Jeff, Mike, and Dawn for being involved in this video, which was pulled from the archive and originally released August 29th, 2021. The scripture reading is Revelation 12, 10 to 11. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death.
Good morning to congregation and the Lord's anointed that are meeting around the world, and also good morning to those who are part of that but cannot be here physically or across the world and watching this service. We are grateful for your presence, grateful that you take the time to come and remember that we have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. We belong to Jesus. We're the chosen ones. He chooses all who are willing to accept his gracious gift bought by his blood, which is the theme of today's lesson. I was reading on a bit on the theme, doing some research, and I've been around a long time, as some of you, and I've learned something. I looked at the Hebrew word for blood, and it's pronounced D-A-M, but it's Dom, and it's as in Adam. So the root Hebrew word for blood is built right into the name of the first living being that God created and breathed life into. I thought that was curious. So it's essential to life, and we know how essential it is. If perhaps, for me, when I was born, I was in need of blood transfusions. I got 4 of them in my first couple months of my life. And without that, people donating blood, and I was, obviously, I survived. And so it's essential to life. We know that if you lose too much blood, you're at the risk of death. So that is tied right into our life, earthly life, and our life, our spiritual life of salvation. We look at the world that we live in today, and it's full of strife, war, hatred, and we need to always be remembering that we are one people, one human race, and we all belong to God, and there's no difference. So let's go to God in prayer this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for times like this where we can gather together, whether through social media or in person. And we're grateful that we can come and remember why we are, who we are, and what we're about in this world and this kingdom that you established for us and want for the world. Father, we realize there are awful things going on right now as we speak, especially the people who are in Afghanistan, the people that live there, the people that are trying to leave there, seeking security for themselves and their families, for those that are going to be left behind, for those that are helping them, for soldiers that are stuck in there from several nations. Father, we hear the reports, we see the reports, and it breaks our heart that such things are going on, and we know they go on every day in the world, and sometimes we're totally oblivious, but when the world draws attention to these things, Father, moves our hearts. And Father, we realize that you have your people in there that are serving Europe Kirkus, and they are also in danger. And we pray for them and their families. And we pray, Father, we also pray for the people of Haiti. Again, they're facing such tragedy, loss of life. And Father, it's a very slow moving down there. And Father, we pray that you, because the people are trying to help them, the countries that have sent aid, that are going down there in person, people that are living there day to day and trying to do what they can. Father, we realize there's a storm hitting the East Coast right now, and there's people that are scared and people that don't feel safe. We pray for them. Father, we pray for our own country. Help us to be more to the world, be a beacon of light, a model of peace, a place of security. Father, we're thankful for our leaders. Father, we're grateful for the many blessings that you give us. Help us to share those with others. Father, thank you for the people in this very place. We have people among us who are struggling and people that are in crisis. And whatever it is, Father, we need to reach out and by faith and pray and embrace each other and lift each other's burden off if we can in some small way, and to lift our holy hands in prayer to you, seeking the best for them. Father, I'm grateful for the blessings in my own life. Help me to teach me to share them with others and to never take them for granted. Please be with our speaker this morning. May you provide a message will inspire us to have a better week ahead for the kingdom of God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for spilling your blood for us. Help us to be a powerful instrument to you because of that. In Christ's name, pray. Amen.
Sorry, I fog up pretty bad if I don't take that off. Home is a place of quiet in the midst of storms, of comfort in trials, and of celebration of just being part of a family. I am very happy that we had a thank you card today from Helen, because they've now established their own home after many trials, frustrations, and even missteps and sacrifice. Sacrifice on the part of Daniel financially and emotionally over a period of nearly 3 years through this long process. Sacrifice on the part of Helen in trusting in people half a world away, her future, and on the part of the many people here who've worked and donated and prayed and encouraged. When they were moving in, we prayed a blessing that their new house would be a respite. Well, I didn't use that word for people whose language is not English. But that the love in that home would nurture their children into a knowledge and a love for God. And I thought about this as a metaphor for God and his family. He wants nothing more and absolutely nothing less than to have a home with his children. His home is a joyous banquet. We saw that today. A place where tears are forgotten and where his love is felt without end. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. And Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. But also, as we saw today, the establishment of God's home did not come without sacrifice. It did not come without blood being shed. God offered his own son as a ransom so that we might lay hold of the reward of that home, that celebratory banquet, and the presence of God for all time was the hardest thing he ever had to do. Turning his back on his son for the needs of the many, for us, who sometimes fail to remember just how much he paid and just how spectacular it's going to be. That this earthly tent is only a shadow of the much greater things that are waiting. Helen and the girls have started to reap the benefits of a home they can call their own and being reunited as a family. We can start to reap the benefits of our future home right now if we carry with us Jesus' death and sacrifice, because they brought the guarantee that the God who raised him to newness of life will do the same for us. We take and remember these simple emblems to recall to our mind the gift. And today, as you break this bread and drink from this cup, I want you to remember that gift, and that the fact that our lives look forward to a new and amazing home with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you sent the Son of your love to walk among us, to understand us in a way that was compelling to us, because now you were like us. We didn't have to reach for you. Instead, you came down to our level. Father, we thank you that he gave himself on that cross. We thank you for that blood that was shed to forgive our sins. And Father, we look forward with joyous anticipation to that banquet and that time when we will be with you always, and the light of your love will drive everything, that we may be the children of your love. In his name we pray. Amen.
Of all the holy days that we celebrate throughout the year, Christmas, of course, beautiful time, the birth of Jesus, and then Good Friday, and then Easter, of course, the resurrection of Jesus. Out of those 3 days, I suspect that most of us would have Christmas and Easter at the top of our top three. Good Friday, I think the reason that most people don't want to celebrate Good Friday is because over the years, it has, at least in some places, become a detailed explanation of a crucifixion. And that's not what Good Friday is all about. Christmas is wonderful, the birth of Jesus. Easter is wonderful, the resurrection of Jesus. Yet neither of them offer forgiveness of sins. It was at the death of Jesus, his shed blood, that sins were forgiven. I think one of the things Jesus meant when he said on the cross, "It is finished," was the meaning that nothing else needs to take place. Jesus offered a sacrifice for all of us, sins forgiven. I mean, Christmas is wonderful, the birth of Jesus. Easter is awesome, the resurrection of Jesus, but they don't offer forgiveness of sins. It's Good Friday. Revelation 12:11. I love that passage of scripture. It talks about the blood of Jesus being sacrificed for our sins. It's a wonderful passage of scripture. And we have sung hymns over the years doing exactly that, singing great songs about the blood of Jesus. Some of you will recall growing up singing these songs. Let me just read the words. You do not want me to sing, so I'll just go ahead and read some of these words. How many remember this hymn? "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." That's part of our DNA. We just know this hymn. "What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." The second verse, "For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Well, right across the page in this hymn book, 903, there is power in the blood. "Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood." And then the last verse. "Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood." Both of these hymns were written in the 1800s. Robert Lowry wrote the words and put the music to Nothing But the Blood. "There's Power in the Blood." That was written in 1899. And again, a gentleman by the name of Lewis Jones wrote the words and had this wonderful song. We sing these hymns a lot, or we have at least in the past. And to me, what overwhelms me is the emphasis of our forgiveness. And again, I go back to say, I don't know how many times we gather together at Christmas time, usually for our candlelight Christmas Eve service. And it's wonderful. It's great. It's marvelous. People come and they really enjoy it. Or Easter Sunday. I mean, how can you not get excited about Easter Sunday? And I'm not putting any of those things down. Of course, I wouldn't put those things down. They do not forgive us our sins. It's Good Friday. On the cross, when Jesus sheds his blood and he says, "It is finished. Nothing more needs to happen. I have given my blood for your forgiveness of sins." And throughout the scriptures, and I spent several hours this week looking at all these wonderful scriptures that talk about the blood of Jesus for our forgiveness. Let me just read to you some of them. I have a long list, but I'll just go through them rather quickly because I think they're really amazing. And they're not in order. I'll just go ahead and read them. In Revelation itself, Revelation 1:5, "To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood." That scripture convinced me that I needed to be baptized into Christ Jesus. I think I was about 14 years old. And I've been to church, like many of you, since you were a baby. I went to church even before I can remember going to church as a baby. And then I remember over the years, but one particular Sunday, and I can't even remember who was the preacher. But I just remember hearing that to him who loves us, loves me, and has freed me from my sins by his blood. And for those of you who've been baptized, you know that when you're thinking about being baptized, you can't stop thinking about being baptized. You just have this motivation where this needs to be done. And you feel very uncomfortable until you're baptized into Christ. It's this relationship where on the cross, Jesus is looking right at each one of us. And he says, Don, and your name, it is finished. Nothing more needs to be done. This sacrifice, my blood, is for you. Now you tack that on with his words. I am with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He was with us even before we were born. But it's now this revelation, no pun intended, that he says to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. That's the beginning of this wonderful book of Revelation that talks about the victory that we have because of the slain Lamb of God, who is Jesus. Acts chapter 20, the second part, where he speaks to the elders of the church, Paul does, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. The church was purchased by the blood of Jesus. I thought we built the church. Of course not. He invites us to be the church because of his blood. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Just a constant reminder. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Try as hard as you want. Memorize every passage of scripture in the Bible. Try never to sin. Try to never make a mistake. That's not going to bring us into an eternal relationship with God. It's by the blood of Christ. Without the shedding of the blood of Christ, there is no forgiveness. But by the shedding of the blood of Christ, there is forgiveness for all. Or my favorite passage when it comes to this is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. I'm sure many of you can quote this passage. For you know it's not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Notice the words, precious blood of Christ. Or what Jesus said himself, Matthew 26, 28, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, even for us. 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from how many sins? All. All. I love Christmas. I love the story of the birth of Jesus. But that hasn't forgiven me of my sins. I love the resurrection. Jesus coming out of the grave saying that death is no more. It's wonderful. But that doesn't forgive me of my sins. I picture myself, and maybe you do too, at the foot of the cross. It is finished. Nothing more needs to be done. My blood has been shed for you and for everyone else. To me, that motivates me to put ourselves in that picture, that what Jesus said was true for all of us and is true for all of us. And so because of that, 1 John 1 in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us or cleanses us from all sin. That's just remarkable. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13. Remember, there was a time when you were separate from Christ, and maybe you can remember that. There was a time in your life when you were excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenants or the promise. You're without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. He's emphasizing, these writers are emphasizing over and over and over again, so that we won't forget who we are and to whom we belong. So 1 Corinthians, when Paul writes about coming together and sharing communion together, and they take this cup, I always picture, because of the scenes that have been painted over the years, the disciples, apostles gathered around the table, and there's this bread, and there's this big chalice. Some of you remember that. I was pretty young, but I remember going to a country church, and I can't believe it, but it's true, that there was a big cup at the front of the church, and the one who was presiding over that would pour the grape juice into it, and you'd come up and walk to the front, and you'd take a sip out of it. And I remember old, and I won't say his name, smoking a pipe and smoking cigars like crazy until he walked into the church. And I remember, I hope my mom and dad get up there and drink before he drinks. It's not going to taste too good, I don't think, with all that. It just things like that, silly things like that when you're a kid, you're growing up and you're thinking about all of these things. But to me, that's part of who we are. We're connected to one another. We come from diverse backgrounds. We're not all the same. We don't think all alike. But when it comes to forgiveness of sins, this is what unites all of us. His sacrifice for us. It is finished. Nothing more needs to be done. And so when we read the scriptures, we understand the power of it. And so when Paul is having communion together, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. So Revelation 12, 11 is just this beautiful passage of scripture. And Revelation itself is a remarkable book. It's apocalyptic in many ways, but it also brings us together through the blood of Christ. And Revelation 12, 11 says, this is powerful. This is the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So what happened was people became Christians. They're washed in the blood of Christ, if you will. Sins are forgiven. Now what? Now they want to go and tell people what this is all about. It's called the word of their testimony. Now, again, just let me read some passages of scripture to show the emphasis of going out into the world, because we have received salvation through the blood of Christ. Now we want to tell other people about this. So in Acts chapter 5, in verse 12, the word of their testimony. I'm just going to read some verses here. Acts 5, beginning in verse 12 and going all the way to 21. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. I guess that was their church, all gathering. No one else dared join them. That grabbed me. Were they welcome? Yeah. But they didn't go. It was just too powerful. It was just too overwhelming. Maybe they were afraid. That's going to change in the chapters ahead. But to me, that's a powerful passage of scripture. Something so amazing is taking place. I don't know if I can handle it. No one else joined them. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord, and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, at least hoping that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Amazing. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. And they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, and as they had been told, and began to teach the people. Which to me would be like getting out of jail and meeting anyone on the street and say, "I gotta tell you what just happened to me. I just gotta tell you what happened to me." See, I think that's what happens. I think that's evangelism. It's not necessarily getting cue cards that have scriptures on them. I think more than anything else, promoting Christianity is, "I gotta tell you what happened to me. I'm not trying to brag, I'm not trying to boast myself, but it changed my life. I gotta tell you. I just have to tell you what happened to me." Don't we do that with the people we love? Don't we do that with our children? I just gotta tell you what's really, really important here, honey. You really need to know this. And this is Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It changed people's lives eternally. And it still does. It still does. These scriptures remind us of the power of Christ working in each of our hearts. So in 25, I guess it's around verse 25, it said that, I'll just read this, that someone came and said, "Look, the men that you are put in jail are standing in the temple courts among the people." And the captain went up with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that of the people, that the people would stone them. And having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to preach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." They were opposing it, and they used the word blood, which is their salvation. They were using the word blood, saying, "You're accusing us of it." No, it's that blood that would forgive you of your sins. And so Peter said, "We must obey God rather than people." Okay, so Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they could not help but speak about these things. It's a beautiful passage of scripture. They could not help but talk about these things. And all throughout the scriptures, they just kept speaking over and over and over again. "We don't want you talking about this anymore." Okay, let me tell you about the blood of Christ. You can't stop what brings salvation to others. So Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as even to shrink from death. Many of the disciples, many of the apostles were martyred for their faith, but they were not going to give it up. Let me read a couple of more passages and then I'll be done. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in about verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32. "And what more shall I say? I don't have time," which is interesting to me when someone says that. "I don't have time to tell you about this," and they go ahead and tell you about it. "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to talk about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith listen to this, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. Why did they do that? Because they knew the blood of Jesus has forgiven me of sins. You can take my life, but you can never take my soul. Never. Never. The one who spoke the universe into existence is the one who will welcome us when it's our time. It is a welcome mat because the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives, even to shrink from death. So in chapter 12, it's really quite amazing. I'll start, and I'll finish with this. Hebrews chapter 11, 39, I guess we'll say. All these people that we talked about, they were commended for their faith, yet none of them had received what had been promised. Because God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. He's talking about Old Testament characters who did incredible things for God, but they didn't have what we have. They just didn't have Christ yet. They had faith in God and they knew that the Messiah would come, but they passed before that happened. And so the Hebrew writer is reminding people, this is amazing. What we now receive. Now watch this. Verse 40. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and this is where you'd want to look around the room and say, hey, Moses, how's it going? Hey, David, great to see you. Mary, wonderful. How are things? And you could just go around the wall, go around the wall, go around the wall. Even though these are great characters in the Bible, they are your family, my family. One day we will be together, all together again. And the Hebrew writer says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, our salvation, scorning its shame, sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider this, who endured such opposition from sinful people, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. If you've come today and you are weary and you have lost heart, I hope some of these things today will wash that away. They overcame, like we do, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they did not love our lives, even to the point of death. And so the next time when we are permitted to sing these powerful, sometimes old hymns, the words remind us that we have received the precious promises and the precious blood of Christ Jesus. Amen.
I only came up here because I forgot my glasses. No, anyways, God answers prayer, Chloe. That was, I don't know if my senses were heightened or I needed it, but that was one powerful sermon. Amen? And I was tying it all into what I read about the root word of the Hebrew word I of blood, and I was tying into other scriptures, and how in 12:11, Revelation 12:11, I won't take away, but and the communion. But one passage that sticks with me, I read years ago when I was younger, and I've never forgotten it. It's in 2 Kings chapter 7 or 8, when Elisha and his servant are trapped, and there's all kinds of armies ready to, enemy armies ready to come and to devour them and kill them. And then the servant turns to Elisha and is very afraid, and then Elisha just prays to God and says, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And when the Lord does that, he sees vast chariots of fire, armies of God's armies all around. And that's what, it's no different today. We may feel alone and lost in this world, but we've been bought by the blood, and by faith there are vast armies, like chapter 11 of Hebrews, that are on our side, and they're rooting for us, and they're defending us, and we need to take that into account. So thank you, Don. Thank you, Jeff. And it's good to see everyone again. This has been done in my heart. Well, if you're watching in on social media, I pray for your blessing on to being you for the service, and for us all. So let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gathering of your people, just to solidify our faith and the remembrance of blood and the powerful role it has played in our salvation and guarantees us eternal life. Father, we're so grateful for the blessings that you give us each day. We realize that we have a job to do, to share those blessings and to speak out as our ancestors did, but in faith, and not to shrink from death, and to stand up and be bold and be faithful. Father, help us to be your servants this week. Be with those who are having a tough week physically, health-wise, and strengthen them as you can and will. In Christ's name, pray, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.